Welcome to Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano, presented by DraftKings. Don't forget, DraftKings is your home for all the action across the NBA and gets you closer to the game we all love. The crown is yours. I'm just going to get some business out the way. Later in the show, we're going to have John's former teammate in 2009, NBA champion Trevor Ariza, joining us. But I've been excited. I haven't talked to John here since some major news broke out a couple of days ago. So just want to introduce John Wall, our co-host on the show, Point Game. John, how you doing, man?
I'm great, man. I got opportunity to I went to Cabo for a little vacation, a little business trip. Now I went to the McDonald's All-American game in Houston. And now I'm back here, back in Miami, sitting down, relaxing for a little bit. I ain't trying to do no traveling. Till I go watch my AU team play. And decided to get back to the podcast. I mean, we took like 2 weeks off. So we're going to make up for some time we missed. But I'm excited to be back and just get to talk about a lot of news and great things that's been going on.
Yeah, man. I mean, one of the reasons why I was like, we got to do a podcast with you is because when big things in basketball happen, there's always a good chance that it's going to relate back to you. Now, what I was alluding to before, Coach Cal. Let's talk about it. Coach Cal announced, I think it was a couple of days ago, and it's now official that he is going to be the new coach at Arkansas, so leaving Kentucky. What was your reaction to the news? Give us the lowdown. What's going on?
It wasn't too shocking to me because just the way, like, you know what I mean, they lost the game to Oakland, and you start hearing all the news, do we get rid of Cal? We need to get rid of Cal. We need this. We need that. And I think him, like he said in his last message to the Big Blue Nation, I mean, it was his dream job. Then we have opportunity to come there, experience everything he has done. Everybody know how big Kentucky basketball is. It was big before he got there, but I feel like he took it to a whole nother level. You know what I mean? Having a lot of guys come in, be number one recruiting classes, a lot of five-star guys coming there. So many guys that's in the NBA. I think, he had 7-8 guys that was in the All-Star game this year. A lot of number one picks that came through there. And, you know, a lot of people base their legacy off championships. You know what I mean? Championships are great. Don't get me wrong. Like, everybody wants to win them. And I feel like every school wants to win them. For him, I think it was just – that was his ultimate goal, but it was bigger than it also. You know what I mean? He built so many great relationships with people in Kentucky, with all the parents, the kids that play for him. And you just see the love. If you go in the comments, all the kids that's – you know what I mean? You're going to have some haters. You're going to have some people that really respect and love what he did for him. But for me – it's sad to see him leave. You know, I mean, I'm still a part of Kentucky. I'm still going to be Big Blue Nation. I mean, that's the school that gave me opportunity to play on the highest level you can in college basketball, D1, one of the biggest schools ever. And then get opportunity to go to the NBA. So, you know, I mean, that's always family to me. I have their jersey tatted on me. I'm in the Hall of Fame. So there's always love and support with Kentucky. And that's never going to change from that. But I'm always going to support Cal, too, no matter what schools he at. And I think he just, like he said, it was just time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's sad to see a breakup like that happen, but I think it was just time. You can see it and hear it in his voice. Like, he had like a lot more joy. He's getting that excitement back now. And he's getting to start fresh. I mean, like you said, sometimes you need a new fresh start, even though you might want to be with that person and stay with that person. I think he needs a fresh start. And he's doing what's best for him and his family. And I just feel like it's going to be a lot of pressure to whoever get the next job in Kentucky to kind of live up to what he did. You know what I mean? It might not be the championships, but all the other things that he brought to the university, I think it's going to be special. But I think the AD, Mitch Barnhart, going to do a great job of just trying to find somebody new, find somebody else to come in and keep the legacy going and build what he can. But Arkansas got a great winning coach, Cal, and I think they're super, super excited.
Yeah. And we'll talk about maybe, you know, who could fill that spot. But, like, I think there were a couple of weeks there when people are, you know, I think some reports are coming out that Cal's staying. And in a lot of this news, it's like you said, you weren't shocked. It makes sense. So, like, let's go back to a couple of weeks ago when it was looking like Cal was going to stay. Was there any thought to you in your head of like, man, why are you staying? Like, it's a lot of pressure. You've done a lot. And like, the UK fans want championships. But like, you know, so were you in your head like thinking about that possibility that this could happen?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, like, as simple as this, man, like, it's all what have you done for me lately. You know, any part of business you're in, that's what have you done for me lately. And I think you want to be wanted. You know what I mean? You want to feel the love. You want the support. You want to be wanted where you are. And I think that void had just went away with the last 4 years of how things have went in the tournament, not going far, having certain upsets against certain teams. I think, like, the fan base has just got to know it. But it's interesting because, like I said before, it's like everybody praised him for what he was doing, then stopped praising him. You know what I mean? So it's a gift and a curse. But at the same time, now when he decided, oh, I might take this Arkansas job, now you hear all the fans like, no, we don't want Cal to leave. We want Cal to stay. But like, you kind of pushed him out. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of gave him the void to where, like, well, if I'm not feeling the love and support I've been getting for the last 15 years when I came here in 2009, 2010, what am I staying for? You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think he found that, his found his happiness back. Because I think if you just watch it, every coach wants to win. Like, he, the difference is he has a lot of young guys. I mean, but we, he makes no excuses. He keeps a couple of veteran guys, a lot of young guys. And you look at most of these teams that's winning, they got juniors, they got seniors, they got fifth-year seniors, sometimes six-year seniors, because you get those extra years because of the red shirt or COVID. And, I mean, not too many teams go in there with a lot of freshmen and go win. You know what I mean? It's hard. It's very difficult. You know, you've never been in that spotlight. You really don't know what that March Madness feeling is like. You know what I mean? It's one game and it's over. And then when the buzzer hit, you're like, damn, my season's over. You know what I mean? So it's different. But like I said, I'm happy for him. Whatever he feels is best for him and his family. You know, he always got a lot of love for me, from a lot of players that played for him. I know the University of Kentucky love him. The Big Blue Nation fans still love him. It's just now you got to wait and see who's going to be next. Like, who's going to fill the void?
Yeah. You you said you talked to him very recently. And any tidbits you can share that, that may have not been said by him or by the media at all?
No, I talked to him yesterday. I just said, what's up, coach? How you doing? I mean, just checking on him. You know what I mean? Because it's got things. Somewhere you've been for 15 years, that's home. That's like where you've been. You built so many great relationships. You have done so many great things for a university. So to start over, start fresh is something new. But and just in his voice, you can hear the excitement. Like, you know what I mean? You get a new opportunity to start fresh, and he's loved over there. He's got the support. He got the fan base that wants him. So it's sometimes you have to make that move, and sometimes you don't want to break have that breakup. But like you said, I feel like it was needed. They need a new voice at Kentucky, and he had an opportunity to go get a new job. So I'm not mad at him for that. You got to do what's best for you at the end of the day.
Now, before this, I mean, yeah, it's been 15 years. Coach was at Memphis, national championship there, went to the national championship and, you know, went to Kentucky and went far, you know, won in 2012. Do you think, you know, but like mainly I think the big thing people know Cal as, you know, he gets his players prepared for the NBA. Now that he's going to Arkansas, a team that necessarily we don't see go very far in the tournament, do you think his sort of coaching initiatives or like approach to coaching changes at all? Or is he still, you know, you go to get NBA ready with Coach Cal?
Nope. I think nothing changes. And he still loves the coach. And I think that's the reason, one reason why he made the movies, because he's not going to change how he coached. He's not going to change his pedigree. He's not going to change his style. Like, we have to understand, he was the one and done king when coaches were scared to do one and done. You know what I mean? Like, people were terrified of being that one and done. He started the one and done era. Like, he got it going. And then you started to see the guys at Duke and all these other great schools start to be one and done. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People were terrified of it at first. You had to do 2 years or 3 years. I mean, because there were so many great talents before he started that should have been one and done or easily could have went one and done. But I think that's another big reason why he made the move. It's like, yeah, I want to win championships. Yeah, I want to go far in the tournament. Trust me, everybody does. I don't think no coach sits there and say, yeah, I got one of them players, but I don't care about winning. You still want to win. You know what I mean? But at Kentucky, it's a lot of pressure. They want to hang banners. They don't care about what the regular season record is. They want to go far in the tournament. You know what I mean? The last couple of years haven't been that for him. And I think they kind of started to get to the fans, and they wanted things to change. And I mean, sometimes you're stuck in your ways, but I think he does a great job of what he does. And hopefully he can keep doing great things at Arkansas. And I feel like he's going to keep the same trend going that he had when he had Kentucky, just Arkansas. I mean, like, I think he did it at Memphis.
Yeah.
It's not like he didn't have a trend where he already had it going. Like, who was really going to Memphis before Coach Cal went to Memphis?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Like, who was going to UMass before he went to UMass?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, great players were going to Kentucky regardless before Coach Cal got it. Don't get me wrong. But then they had a downfall for a couple of years. You know what I mean? NIT a couple of years, not making the tournament. Then, boom, Cal come back. You got a team like us come in. You get five-star recruits come in, five guys going the first round. You start off 18-0. You know what I mean? The next year, you bring the recruiting class of Brandon Knight and Deron Lim and Terrence. I mean, you bring those guys in. Then the following year, AD and them come, you win a championship. You know what I mean? So it's just like he has a trend, and I think what he brings to the game and what he brings to college basketball is going to continue to go. And I think Kentucky lost a great one, but we never know who they can replace, and hopefully they do a great job also.
Man, so I just got, like, chills a little bit because I'm like, Coach Cal isn't just going to have, like, you know, he's going to bring some guys over there, right? There's going to be he's going to want to come out the gate on fire. Like, you know, we might see another 18-0. Like, what do you expect from that program?
I really don't know too much about the school. I know they got, I mean, it's a basketball yeah. school. They have an SEC. They have a football school also. Don't get me wrong. They have other great sports, but I don't really know the history about it or anything. But I just think he's going to keep the same trend going. I don't think nothing stops here for him. I mean, yeah. I think it's a different place. I've been in Kentucky where you have those crazy fan base. That's probably the best in the country for me.
Yeah.
But he's going to bring talent wherever he goes. Like, I don't think talent is going to not want to mess with Coach Cal. I think they're yeah. going to continue to want to deal with him. The pedigree he brings, the area he brings, I think is just great for college basketball.
So let's talk about the huge coaching vacancy over at Kentucky now. Are there some names that you like? Are there some names that you're seeing that you could see there? Like, talk about, you know, some specific names and maybe even just like what type of coach do you need over there at Kentucky now to you know, pick up on some winning ways?
I just hope they get a great coach. That's the university I went to. I want them to continue to be good, man. I want to continue to support them. I want to continue to be able to go to games. Whoever the new coach come, I want to be able to build a relationship with them so that I have the opportunity to come back and still use the facility when I work out. You know what I mean? Come around and be around the yeah. team and go to practice and then go to games and support. I'm always going to continue to do that because that place is like home to me. I mean, even though Coach Guy is separated, that's still the place I call home. That's where I went to college. That's where I left high school and learned how to be a man on another level to prepare me for the NBA. So whoever they get, I hope is great. Hope I can build a relationship with them and hope is a guy that can get them to where they want to get to and win more championships.
Yeah. I want to talk about the women's tournament and the championship too. But as a segue, people were even throwing Dawn Staley's name into coaching Kentucky. You think Dawn could handle that job and succeed, or do you think we'll ever see something like that?
Man, the way the game is growing from women and men, and you never know. You know what I mean? I think Lindsey Hardin has opportunity to get an interview yeah. for the head coaching job. So just to see, like, these coaches breaking – these women coaches breaking the record of just being G League coaches, being assistant coaches on NBA teams. You know what I mean? Even in the NFL, you have coaches, women coaches on the sideline. Like, I think that's great for the game. And Dawn Staley's a GOAT, you know what I mean? Like, from being a player to coaching and what – the thing she's done in a short amount of time has been amazing. I mean, so it's a lot of support. And you just see the love. Like, that's the type of love you want your players to have for you, like, to play for your coach. You know what I mean? Like, they love everything about Dawn, the way she carries herself, the way she is as a person, the way she believes in God, the way she prepares them. She does it at a high level. You know what I mean? So you have to respect everything Dawn Staley does. But what she has going to South Carolina is up to her if she want to leave. I bet she should get a lot of opportunities. And I think yeah. she will eventually get opportunity to coach men if you want to. I mean, I think it just all depends on what she wants. But she's a hell of a coach, a hell of a person, and I respect her.
Let's talk about that national championship, even in the Final Four, too. Your general reaction, let's sum it up, like, from that Final Four that we saw, that Iowa-UConn game, you know, South Carolina took care of business pretty easily in that second half to go to the national championship. Same story, I think, for the national championship. You called South Carolina. Was there any, I guess, any doubt in your mind in those last two games where you're like, oh, it could be somebody else?
I just think Iowa had a chance, you know what I mean? They beat yeah. them last year, you know what I mean? And they come in with a whole new team from last year. I think the biggest separation was their defensive game plan on Kaylin Carr was amazing. She missed shots, though, don't get me wrong, but the girl, Raven Johnson, played great defense, you yeah. know what I mean? She had a revenge tour from last year, you know what I mean, being on the team and them losing in the Final Four. I think that was big for them, but I think the separation of the whole entire game was, and we all knew what it was going to be going into it, was who made the most threes and could Iowa stop them on the rebound? And I think, I mean, and this South Carolina team was a better shooting team than the team from last year, from the outside, you know what I mean? And that's the key. You look at last night in the men's game, they said, we'll let Edie kill. We can't give up threes. They only took 7 threes, 8 threes. That's probably the lowest they ever took all season. They only made one, you know what I mean? Yeah. And that was a tough one on a fadeaway on a buzzer beater. So Dan Hurley was like, listen, we're not going to let them beat us with threes. So the game plan, what it basically was threes. So I think Dawn Staley and their coaching staff came up with a great game plan of not trying to give us so many threes, but at the same time, Iowa missed a lot of threes. You know what I mean? Missed a lot of yeah. easy baskets. But South Carolina played well, played great. And that's what they do. You know what I mean? Great team. They separate and get that separation that they need. The same as UConn. UConn is always close, close, close. In that second half, they get that stretch where they go on a 10 to 13 to 15 run, 15-0 run. And it's hard to get back into the game because you can't speed them up. They're getting offensive rebounds, and they're making their open shot. That's when it just gets tough.
I wanted to ask you about a specific player on South Carolina because I was watching her again and seeing the highlights. Malaysia Fulwiley. I think you know the question I might ask, but like, what do you think about her game? And then electric. I want to ask you about a signature move that
electric. I see she did it behind the back again. She missed it this time, but she's super electric. I feel like her and the other girl, number five, Johnson. Mm-hmm. She's a freshman also. They came in. I think they really gave South Carolina the boost they needed because they were struggling early on. They wasn't making shots, and Iowa was rolling. And they came in early in the first half, and like first quarter, second quarter, they came in. I think she had like 9 or 11 going into half. The Malaysia girl had like what 7 or 9 going into half. So they came in and gave them that scoring boost that they needed. And from that point forward, when they got the game close and they went up what 3 or 5 going into half.
Yeah.
They knew we was in the game now, and then all it was just them making shots. But I think the freshmen played well for them. They made big shots for them when they needed them to. And then kudos, you couldn't do nothing with her down there.
One thing I wanted to ask you about Caitlin Clark and a lot of these, you know, the girls that are going into the WNBA draft is the draft is happening next week. And then the season is starting, I think, May 15th. Can you talk about that turnaround? Like the time between, I think you had what, 6 months before you became an NBA player. They have like 2 months.
I think
months.
It's different. Not even 2 months. Come on, bro. They just finished the championship game Sunday. They're getting drafted this Monday. You know what I mean? So your life changes that fast. You know what I mean? Like, we took time. Like, the men's play Monday, yesterday. You don't get drafted to June. So that's look how crazy. Much – I mean, you got June, then you got the summer league. So they have time, you know what I mean, to relax and prepare. But I don't know. I think it's great. It's going to be a lot of great talent coming into the WNBA. There's already so much great talent in the WNBA now. I just love the love and support that the women game are getting. Like, for me, I've always been a fan of the women's game. Like, if you noticed me when I was in D.C., I went to a lot of Mystics games. Mm-hmm. When I'm on the road and I have opportunity, I try to go to games and support. And it's just exciting, man. I just love to watch basketball, no matter if it's men's or women. But I think the platform that they're getting now is spectacular and it's special for them. And hopefully they can up the money for them to get paid more in the WNBA. You know what I mean? Because they're so gifted and talented. There shouldn't be no knock on if they're men's or women. You know what I mean? If the NBA or the WNBA, I think they should get taken care of. Probably not. They probably won't get to the level we are, but they should get taken care of very well. You know what I mean? Because if they want to go overseas, I think that should be for them to decide. You know what I mean? Or the ones that don't make it in the WNBA. But they're too talented to have to play in the WNBA and then go overseas to just make sure they're financially straight. They're too talented, too gifted. So hopefully they can make a change in that environment at some point.
Last question before we head to break. Do you think Caitlin and Angel Reese, do you think either of them make the All-Star team in their rookie season?
Oh, no. I got to decide on that one. But I think they're both going to be electric and spectacular. If Caitlin goes one, she gets to play with Aaliyah Boston. So that'd be a great matchup and dynamic duo with her. You know what I mean? So
I thought that was dope. Aaliyah calling the game and then, you know.
Yeah, that's what I said. And she see the revenge tour end the way it did. You know what I mean? From losing to them last year to see Don come back and win. I think that was spectacular. So.
And then knowing Caitlin's going to be on her squad next year.
Yeah, so I wonder what that conversation was after she celebrated.
Right, right. It looked like all respect between everybody. So, all right. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back on Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano, we're going to be joined by NBA champion Trevor Ariza. We'll be back on Point Game. Welcome back to Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano, presented by DraftKings. We are now joined by 2003 California Mr. Basketball and 2009 NBA champion with the Los Angeles Lakers, ladies and gentlemen, Trevor Ariza joining the show. Trevor, how's it going, man?
Chilling, brother. How y'all doing?
Good. Chilling, Brody.
Yes, sir.
I like when we get, you know, John's former teammates on here because I feel like there's a lot of stories that probably, you know, you guys haven't told. So I wanted to know, Trevor, how was it playing with John at Washington? Do you have any funny stories? Like, what was that experience playing together?
Man, I think I caught John probably like in his earlier part of his career where he was just starting to figure out the game, I would say. So in that space. And that time we was, you know, we had it going. My first year as their, as his teammate, we were sorry as hell. It was frustration. But the second year that we were teammates, that's when, like, that's when he took off into who he was as a player. And everything just went upwards from there. You know, he got everybody involved, cannon down the court, you know, take two or three dribbles, he already at the other end of the basket. And that, it made everybody else's job easier because all we had to do was run the lanes, either run to the three-point line or run for layups because he put so much pressure on the rim. So, you know, being getting the opportunity to play with somebody like John was it was good for him. It made my job easier.
Yeah, Trey, I was telling about the game. I forgot how many threes you had. I think you had like 38 or 40. We was in Philly.
In Philly.
How many threes you hit like in the first half?
I don't know.
I think it was like 8 or 9, but it was just like, this is when the NBA was like, they used to always like tag and not really switch pick and rolls and help. And I was like, all right, I know what my shooter is. In transition, he was running to the slot and in the half court, he was deep corner. And they just kept helping, helping, helping. I was like, we ain't got to really do too much. Like, he's making shots. But for you, Trev, I just, you've been my OG since we first met in 2012. We played together for 2012, 2014. And unlike most vets, bro, you came in very silent. You always was about business. But when you spoke, we all knew it meant business. It was no bullshit. So I just want to give you a flowers and let you know how much you meant to me. And I appreciate it because I'll never forget. We played our first game in playoffs against the Bulls. And I was jogging back like 2 minutes into the game. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Get back. I'm like, bro, what you mean? Like, bro, every possession means something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, from that day forward, like, I had a lot of vets, but you came in early and taught me how to be a professional, like how much every possession meant, no matter what, and never to BS around. So you being who you was, Mr. Basketball in L.A. and going to UCLA and then leaving and not probably going first round when you thought, like, how did you manifest your career to get to where you wanted to? Like, what made you put that work effort to it? Because, you know, you was – wanted to start players in high school and all that, and then go to UCLA.
Man, for me, it was just understanding that everybody's journey is different. Some people, you know, get things. I mean, obviously, you don't. Nobody's getting anything handed to them, but people are making decisions on other people and what they can do. And my job always was to, mentality was to show people that they really, you know. I'm one of those people that kind of slipped through the cracks a little bit. So that kept me focused. That kept me motivated. And I always knew that I felt like I was one of the best players for what I do around the world at the time. So confidence never was nothing. I always bet on myself. I always did that because I know the type of work that I was willing to put in. And I knew where I was willing to go to make sure that winning was the main priority.
Sure. Yeah, going back to, because I think, you know, people consider you an L.A. basketball legend, but a lot of people, you know, casuals are like, oh, because he won with the Lakers. But you grew up in L.A., played for Westchester. I have a fun story. Back in 2003, Westchester came, I don't know if you remember this, Erie, Pennsylvania, to play McDonald's Classic. And I became friends. I was like a freshman. I became friends with Hassan Adams because he liked my academic sweatsuit. And he goes, where'd you get that here? And I was like, I ordered this online. So Hassan Adams was like asking where to go and eat when we were there. And so, and I got my Slam magazine signed by you and Hassan and some other guys on that squad.
Man, that's crazy.
But that's what I want to talk about. Like Westchester, not only in LA, but you guys were like a team that was on the map that like Slam talked about, like you guys were kind of stars. So can you talk a little bit about your time at Westchester and like the LA basketball scene?
At Westchester, it was for me or for all of us, really, it was like, so they had like a status on, you know, what you would do if all these games were on tonight. And it was the Lakers, the Dodgers, the Comets, Westchester, and then the Clippers, and everybody else. But, you know, at that time, it was dope because playing with all those players, we competed against each other every day to make each other better. Only thing we really cared about doing was playing basketball. And it wasn't like how it is now where, you know, you could just see everybody or know what people are doing. You actually had to, like, be there to witness what was happening at that time. So every game of ours, we really like brought a lot of people out, brought a lot of students out, a lot of adults, and that kind of just got us going because we were excited.
Yeah, I played Westchester. They beat the brakes off us at City of Palm. That Dwayne Poley. That Dwayne Poley and the other kid, what's his name? Jordan Sum. He could shoot.
Jordan Mays. Yep,
he went to Arizona. Yeah. Uh-huh. So, yeah, yeah, I was mad about that. I didn't want to tell anybody about that one. But
we always whooped guys in the City of Palm's class.
Yeah, though. Y'all was nice. Yeah, y'all was cold. So, Penny, T-Mac, and Kobe, they were your favorite players growing up. What was it about those players that made you gravitate to their game?
T-Mac, just he was so smooth with his game. Like, that hezzy pull, hang dribble pull was, I don't know, that shit was like opening up the Bible and watching, but and reading. But T-Mac was always cold. Kobe was always a killer. And Penny Hardaway, he was just like, he got the little Penny doll. And their body types are similar. Similar to mine as well, so I always kind of just like idolized the way that they played, and I wanted to figure out how I can like incorporate the things that they did to my game.
Yeah, Penny was tough, man. I just hate he got injured because he was so tough.
For real, Penny never got hurt.
Yeah, it's the biggest part. We always say like if nobody got injured, what if? But you could just tell how gifted he was, and I had an opportunity to see T-Mac when he was at Mount Zion for that 1 year.
Oh yeah.
And I was young, like I just was starting to figure out what basketball was. And I'm like, damn, because Mount Zion was one of those schools to go to. I'm like, damn.
You can't also forget like when, like 94, 95 or whatever, like when Penny played for the Magic and they were playing against Jordan.
Yes, the Bulls.
He was low-key better than Jordan in that series. You know what I'm saying?
I watched YouTube highlights. So like me, I'm big on like I watch basketball all day, women, boys. I'm on YouTube, so I can see, like, how great they was. You know, I mean, it's not the same as going to games, but I was too young to understand. But I just wanted to see, like, how gifted he was. And I was like, damn.
Yeah. Very creative, man. A player before his time.
Trevor, you talked about that order where you were saying Lakers, Dodgers, Westchester, Clippers. You actually had an interesting tie that I've heard the story a couple of times, but I had some follow-up questions that, you know, everyone knows, you know, Q Rich and D Miles with the two taps. Apparently, you know, the origin was they were coming to watch you guys. Can you give a little bit of explanation or backstory on that?
So, well, when we were in high school, would anybody do like a crazy play or Hassan or somebody would throw it off the backboard to Hassan and he'll dunk it or somebody hit a deep three. And we'll just turn to each other and just like tap our head, like knuckle up, like get ready for war because it's, you know, it's going down. You know, who's in the trenches with you? We're always in the trenches together. So, you know, we just knuckled up.
And so the Clippers were in the crowd. They had saw that and then that made it to the what we know it as?
Well, when D Miles and Q, when they all got drafted, they were still really young.
Yeah.
You know, D Miles was a year removed from high school. So, right. You know, they took him as a high schooler. My school, or at Westchester, we were known for having like a lot of pretty girls at the time. it was just one of the schools to go to. So everybody just, and we had a good basketball team. So everybody just liked to be around, you know, that way.
Gravitate to it. Got to.
Yeah.
That got to be dope, though, having two professional teams, like, in a major city like that. You know what I mean? Like, playing. Because me being from North Carolina, we in Raleigh, like, we got nothing but, like, the Durham Bulls up the street. And, like, the Carolina Hurricanes. Like, for us, we would go see, like, NC State, Carolina, Duke. So that was us. I know, like, being in a major city like that, being a dope program, school, like you said, girls, basketball stars, and then you got the NBA teams right here. And the baseball team that can come see and support. I know that had to be dope.
Right. It's a gift and a curse, too, because you get jaded to a lot of things. We're here, Hollywood, the beautiful sun, the palm trees, the beach. You could get jaded.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
And everybody is in L.A. So you come here and you run across your favorite actress or, you know, musician. But then you still got to go on about your day and do what you got to do. So if you figure out a way to, like, make it here in L.A., I feel like you can fit in anywhere.
Yeah, that's what I be saying sometimes because I be like, I'm glad I'm from North Carolina because I ain't have the exposure to a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, these kids now get so much exposure to so much. And I'm like, imagine being from New York. You got Jay-Z, A-Rod coming to your games. I'm like, I'm trying to ride in the car with them, go buy a chain and do something like that. Like, I wish I had it, but I'm glad I didn't. So I know it could be tough for a lot of these kids now with all the exposure and access they're getting nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to keep them grounded, man. You got to give them, I mean, as adults, we have, you know, vices and things that we pick up. So just imagine a kid that people know that everything is coming to them at one time. That's a lot. So being able to, like, stay balanced is a key factor in moving forward.
Yeah. So I heard you speak is what Kobe means to you. You said Kobe vouched for you becoming a star in this league, and he believed in you. How did that make you feel? You know what I mean? Because you watched him, you looked up to Kobe, and have an opportunity to compete against him and just playing with him.
I mean, that shot my confidence through the roof. When I got traded to L.A., I was coming from Orlando where I really wasn't playing a lot, you know. And it wasn't because I wasn't, you know, as good or whatever. It's just it wasn't – the style of play didn't fit the way that I played. So when I got to L.A., we had a couple practices or whatever. Just me as a competitor, he seemed to, like, gravitate towards that. I would guard him every day. He'll meet me at the gym. Like, he would never beat me there. Mm-hmm. He would always meet me there. So I think he took a liking to that. And, you know, knowing that I would put in that type of work, it was only natural that he saw a fit for our personalities to kind of mesh together because he was a worker.
How did that feel winning the championship, being in L.A.? I know that had to be fire. Being back home, playing for, you know what I mean, a team you probably watched so much growing up and then winning a championship for him. Like,
yeah, that was crazy because, again, winning out, I won at Westchester a lot. But to win for the Lakers, man, they blocked Figueroa off. You see, like, all the people coming out to watch our bus just go to the Coliseum. And then getting in the Coliseum and, like, when they call your name to announce you because, you know, you won, and everybody chanting your name, that shit is unbelievable. Like, that was the best moment that I think.
Yeah, they got to be surreal.
Or winning a championship here, just in the arena, just hearing the people, like, screaming your name is crazy.
Talking about Kobe, and everyone has a story about, you know, how mentally tough he was. And tell me if I'm correct here. I feel like he's underrated how funny he was. Because you shared I think on his birthday last year, you shared a text exchange where you sent him a picture where he was shooting over a triple team. And then he responded, that means that it's an easy putback for if I miss the shot.
The funny part about that is he was serious. that's what made it so funny. He wasn't fucking around. He was dead ass serious.
Gotcha.
I think that was preseason too. That was a preseason game.
That's crazy. Preseason. Do you have any other, you know, any other,
yeah,
like, crazy Kobe stories? Or, I mean, you got to play with them in a championship year. Any stories that stick with you?
Well, something that I could share probably would be, we played in Golden State one time and he had strained his adductor or something. And, you know, that shit was like throbbing. He couldn't really like go like side to side. He could only go straight or backwards. But I think he strained in like the second quarter. By the time the fourth quarter was over, he finished with 44. So like, he could trick his mind into like doing things that his body couldn't do physically, but somehow he was still able to get it done because of how strong his mental was. And seeing something like that, then getting the opportunity to go play like with other like talents, that's kind of like how like I'll be able to like push somebody like John or push somebody like Brad to be what they're going to be. Because I know, because I've seen it personally, that there's another level that you can go to mentally. And if you can go through mentally something like that with the talent that you know, some of these dudes got, the talent that John had, nobody could fuck with him. So that's, as a teammate, that's something that I always wanted to be able to do with special players is continue to feed, you know, that ego, feed things that they need to be great.
So you're a dad of three, Taj, Trishan, and Taylor.
Yeah.
I know that got to be amazing. So I see your son, Taj, he a five-star guard, you know what I mean, straight hooper.
Yeah.
How you balancing being a dad and also being a mentor and giving him the real toughness that it is to encounter on the court?
Yeah, that's a tough balance because you don't want to hear somebody's voice every day, all day long. So like, I gotta pick and choose when to like be the mentor or to critique his game, and when to be dad. So like, when his room's dirty or something, and it's shit to do in the house that he didn't do, I gotta be dad. So I kind of like ease off the basketball. But when everything is in tag and order here at the house, he has a pretty good routine. Then I can like critique his game or like give him a little hint or little pointers on things he can do to just become a better player.
Yeah, and another one, I was like, how hard is it? Because like, my kid's super, super young. They play soccer and all that. But like, how do you figure out, like, you know, like I always say, parents sometimes force their kid to play a sport because they played it. But you just let them fall in love with it. You know what I mean? Do they want to do this routine? Do you not want to do this routine? Like, how great do you want to be? Like, because you've been there, you've done it. Mm-hmm. And now I don't have to force you. I want to see if you really want to get there.
Exactly. So what I did was up until the eighth grade is when, like, we decide on if this is something that you want to do or try something else. Because you'll see kids be, like, super nice from, like, the eighth grade, right? And then they'll get to high school and kind of like everybody will catch up to them. So my like idea was, all right, let me just let you naturally do whatever it is you can do. And whatever it is that you can do, I'm going to watch. And then when it gets time to that it matters, or like when it gets closer to things that you really would need, then if you want it, you're going to show me that you want it because you're going to ask for it. Like even now, like Tristan is in the seventh grade. Every day he's hitting me up about going to work out or going to the gym or running or doing something. He always got a ball in his hands, but that's the hunger and the type of like mentality that I think that you need, because you don't want to, they play so many games in the summertime, you don't really want to burn them out. So you got to actually love this shit to want to do it.
Yeah, because we playing AAU, we was playing three games Friday, three games Saturday. I'm damn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's now, like you said, like nowadays kids don't even want to play AAU as much. They want to just work out. And I'm like, sometimes I get it, but you got to play a little bit to see where your game stack up against. But, yeah, that's dope. That's a good mindset to have.
Plus, I also, they grew up different than the way that I grew up. So I kind of like, I give them things that they got to figure out on their own. Like this morning, figure out how to get to school. I'm not taking you to school. Nobody's taking you to school. Figure it out. Because in life, you got to figure things out yourself, and nobody's going to be there to figure it out for you. So I try to like put lessons of life into like their age bracket and the things that they can do.
Trevor, I saw that actually your son is transferring to Westchester. What does that mean to you? How much does that mean to you? You know, with that news,
it's full circle, really. It's cool for me because it's almost like I kind of can hold a controller a little bit, like myself. But you know, the decisions of school are all his, and what he really wants or where he would feel comfortable. So I get to like literally sit back and just watch my younger self play at my old high school again. It's really weird. It's dope.
That's crazy.
I know you can't wait to see that, to see the flashbacks.
But yeah, I'm excited. Like even going up to the school, like when I have to go up to the school, it feels good to be there. So I'm excited for him.
That's crazy. And am I correct in saying that Arkansas is looking at him? So me and John were just talking about how Cal was there. How serious is he about, you know, the schools that are approaching him, and does he have any colleges that he's really liking right now?
Well, right now, he's really just focused on like how good he can get.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to tell him. Just keep your head down and just focus on the work, focus on your school, focus on basketball. When the time comes for you to figure out where you want to go or what makes sense for you, then we start, you know, talking about it or like really, really, really starting to focus in. But for now, I want you to like see how hard you can grind, how many days you can stack together on being as good as you can be. And that's really where his focus has been, just in the work.
How do you feel about high school kids getting NIL? Because now you got your son is in that process where he can, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Potentially, if he want to take NIL deals or do it, like, how do you feel about it?
How do I feel about it? I don't know if this is something that's not never been there. It's just they got a name for it now.
Yeah, for sure. 1,000%. We all know this. They just try to make it seem like it's more like,
yeah,
it's cool to do now.
Yeah, I mean, they was gonna figure out a way to get it done anyway, but I mean, I think it's cool. A lot of people get an opportunity to you know, help themselves and help their families, and you know, that's a beautiful thing. We all go to school to get a better education so that we can support our families better. I think that it's cool that amateurs get the opportunity to do the same thing.
Yeah, I just think it's dope. Like, you've been a father figure that's there hands-on, you know what I mean? But you letting your kids make the decision. But you also can guide them through it, because sometimes I think it's great that these people can take care of their families, but sometimes they take it the wrong way.
Yeah, no, for sure.
You know what I mean? I think that's the only thing that worried me about it. I'm glad they can get paid and taken care of, because I think we should have been doing it, like you said. It's been going on, but now they just found a way to make it the right way. Mm-hmm. But I just hope the parents don't take it too far in the wrong way to mess their kid up from trying to get to where they really want to get to.
Another thing is probably just order, because once a kid gets money, it kind of, and the family doesn't have much, it changes like the natural order of the way things are supposed to be. You know, the kid now becomes the head of the household, and you know, there's like a little, some sort of like power struggle.
Yeah.
But if like we can like figure that part out, I think things will be better on like in the long run.
Trevor, talking more about your NBA career, I was actually watching back some highlights, and I don't know if people talk about this dunk enough, but when you're on the Knicks and you dunked on Ben Wallace, that was an insane dunk. Can you talk a little bit about that dunk and maybe tell us your favorite highlight of your career?
Oh man, let me see. Dunking on Ben Wallace was they just won the championship, right? Yeah. The year before, Defensive Player of the Year. He's been the Defensive Player of the Year the whole time. We getting drugged at the time anyway. I think we were getting popped. But NBA was a little bit different. So I caught the ball, I think, like 15 feet out.
Yeah.
Did a little pump fake. She did like a little swipe by. I get on my little launching pad. And that was it. He fouled the shit out of me too, by the way. He slapped y'all in my face. But that was crazy, though. That was probably one of the craziest moments of my career.
Yeah. Any other dunks or highlights or even just, you know, plays that come to mind when people talk to you about, you know, what sticks with you?
I think I played in Orlando one time and I dunked on a Donald Foyle. That was pretty bad. I never see that one, though, but that one was crazy. And then the one on Chris Kaman when I played in Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, he was with the Clippers. That shit was crazy.
They might have took it out of YouTube, that's why.
They're so old, man.
And back then, you dunked on Ben Wallace like that and got fouled like that, you might get a flag in one or two nowadays. Like,
yeah.
You might be out. Yeah. That's a question I want to ask, like, because you played in different areas where, like, you could be physical, mm-hmm. to now where you can barely touch anybody, and you've been a great defender. Like, was that a hard adjustment to make? Because you could be physical, you know what I mean? You could bump across the lane back in the day. Now you can barely breathe on anybody, and it's hard to guard.
Yeah, you just got to figure out ways to be who you are within the rules. So, like you said, when I first got into the NBA, if somebody came through the paint and you didn't touch them, you was coming out. Like, you got to check people coming through the paint. So once the rules got a little bit different, you found different like mentalities or different like techniques or different ways to approach the situation. So like for me, let's say you are on the like a UCLA cut, right? And your man go on the front side instead of the back side and I'm at the nail. I'm going to check you.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you can't, I just can't let you get a free run at the basket. That's going to, you know, if you get that, man, later on the referees might call foul if I don't check you earlier in the game. Mm-hmm. So really it's about setting the tone and being true to who you are within the rules. I still think there's some sort of physicality. It just looks different. So instead of like giving like a forearm or some, like you body check them or something. Like
yeah.
That. So yeah, it's a little different. It's the same, but it's different.
Yeah. Learn the rules, learn new techniques for sure, like you said.
You guys talk about the new NBA, but I saw this meme today that it showed Rondo wearing LeBron's, and it's like, this is how crazy LeBron's sort of time has been, that players who have since retired were rocking his signature shoes. Now, I know one of LeBron's biggest high school games, Trevor, was against Westchester. Mm-hmm. Can you, and you played against him, you've been on part of his team. Can you just talk a little bit about on LeBron, like seeing him and playing against him in high school and then also playing against him and playing with him in the NBA?
Man, it's pretty much the same thing. There's no difference. To me, he's, for like my age group or whatever, he's been the best player since 15 years old until 40. So, only other person who could say that really probably is Kareem, that he's been the best player since he was 15 up until you 40. And Bron is still going. So the things that he's done, his accomplishments, he's like surpassed expectations like I don't think that we've ever seen in the game before. Well, we definitely haven't seen it before. When you're playing or when you're like have to compete against those guys, you don't, I mean, you obviously you let them know you have respect for them, but you never, because you still have to compete. Mm-hmm. So any slight type of edge that players like that can get, they'll take. And so like, throughout my time or throughout my career, I don't want to give nobody an edge because I'm already guarding the toughest players every single night. So yeah. I'd rather make my job as easy as I can make it under the circumstances.
Take it away from basketball. I know how much your kids mean to you. Like, what's the best moment about being a girl dad?
Man, you have to be completely different with girls and boys. You know, I can cuss my sons out or whatever, you know, and then my daughter will look at me while I'm cussing them out. And then, like, I just turn into mush because she wants me to, like, you know, pipe down a little bit. So it's weird, but, you know, I also have to, you know, pick and choose when to be firm with her as well, too. Because just because, you know, they're different, the obstacle's still going to be the same as they grow. So just having that balance of knowing when to ease up and when to lay it on, and yeah, it's you got to find that balance.
They say girls make you soft, so I had to ask, you know what I mean? Because I ain't got one, but that's one of my goals in the future. To
have a girl,
and they be like, it's gonna make you soft. I'm like, bro,
it's gonna make you look at things a lot different, like everything, you know, like,
oh, for sure, 1,000%. 1,000%. That's what we need, though. Sometimes we do need that to give us a chill pill,
yeah, for sure.
Trevor, you played for a lot of NBA teams, and so I wanted to know, what was your, do you have a favorite team or a favorite city you like to live in?
I got a few, and since I play for a few places, I get the luxury of saying that I got a few places that are, like, you know, my favorite. Houston, obviously playing home, D.C., and Miami. Those were my favorite places to play in.
And what is it about the environment in those cities, like?
Well, in D.C., it was the team that I enjoyed the most. The team was more like, I think that's the closest that I was with like a full team. You know, like you have players that you fuck with from other places or people that you know prior to being in the NBA that you just are cool like that. But when I was in D.C., like the environment or the locker room, I should say, John and them did a really good job of making sure everybody felt at home. That's the only way you go from being that sorry to like turning around and being that good. You got to feel comfortable. You got to feel safe. And you got to know that your teammates are going to be there and what they're going to do. So it's almost like when I was in D.C., everybody just knew what to do from like just the system and the tendencies that each player had. But playing in L.A., that's home. So, you know, I was used to that. I get to go home to, you know, my brother's here, my mom's here, all my friends. So, if I ever got like uncomfortable or didn't feel like, you know, being around my teammates, I'm right here in Miami. You got the beach. You got everything that you want in Miami.
Bro, it was just like for me, like he said, like when I first got to the Wizards, we wasn't good and we were trying to figure out everything and moving veterans around. So when we traded for the veterans we got, and then Trev came around, we got other more veterans. He just made it better, you know what I mean? Because he knew how to be a pro. He made us learn how to be better pros. But we just, like you said, we did team dinners. We go movies. We were doing all this together, and that's how you build your camaraderie. But we felt like if we didn't get – we just one piece of – like, we could – over the pace, we couldn't get over the hump, you know what I mean? Because I was still figuring out how to be a master at the mid-range, and they did a great game plan. And then we gave away leads that we didn't know how to close them out at the time. But we feel like we matched up with him because we had Trev to guard LeBron. Like, we're not saying nobody's going to stop anybody, but Bron couldn't help off as much as he wanted because Trev was a knockdown shooter. And a lot of teams, if you didn't have that, Bron is roaming and you're in trouble. So we just felt like we matched up with him.
Yeah.
Close out like a
And he closed out hard as shit. I think that's the underrated part of his. No, seriously, though. Like, he'll be in the paint, head on the rim to clog up the paint. So you kick that ball out, he's in a full-on sprint to get to wherever his man is to close out. And, like, when your best players are doing things like that, everybody else falls in line. Like, everybody else falls in line. So, yeah, he just, I don't know. That's how good he is. He's so good at other things that are small. You don't even realize, like, how important they are.
Yeah, you wouldn't pay attention.
But he had good coaching, learning from an early age that all, even the little things go a long way.
Well, I was curious because, you know, with both you guys, like, most of your life, your goal is to make it to the NBA. So you made it to the NBA, and Trevor, we have so much life left, you know? So what's like a new goal that you're sort of chasing in this phase of your career or life?
What do I want to, well, obviously, to see my kids, you know, be an everyday father, that was one of my goals. But outside of like things that are serious or things that I have to do, I like to travel. So my goal is to see as many places and get to as many countries as I can get to, just to see like how they live, things that they do.
Now, for me, like you said, like just we travel so much when we playing, and not with our kids as much. You know what I mean? Our family is basically our team. Spend so many days with them. Just seeing my kids go to school every day, pick them up, take them to practice. For me, just investing, finding other things to keep my mind going, continue to work out to stay in shape.
For sure.
But I didn't travel a lot when I played. So, like, for me now, like, I'm traveling. Like, I want to see the world. Mm-hmm. Like, I ain't travel as much when I play. And they're like, why you don't travel? I'm like, I do on a motor, but we don't ever know when our time can end. So, got to take full advantage of it. But like you said, just being able to see your kids, bro, take them to school, the smile on their faces for me is exciting. And for him, I know it's even more exciting because he has a son that's in high school on the verge of going to college, and opportunity to be in the NBA. And you can't ask for nothing better than that, to follow in the footsteps and kind of see the path that you was on.
Yeah. The best part about that is guys like y'all, I could just call y'all and get into his shit. Like, hey, yo, man, this is what he looks like right now. This is what he's not doing. Holla at him.
Yeah, because it's funny because his son played on my AU team when he was younger.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Yeah, then he was moving to LA, and I was like, damn, fuck, he's going to stay here. But it was perfect, though. Like, but like you said, like, you get to the point where you finish in eighth grade, what you really want to do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to take it serious, we can move here and get straight to it. Like, because you have the blueprint. You in LA. You have your friends that train. You know how to train. You still in the gym working out. So they got to be even more motivation for him.
Yeah, it is, I think, because although, like, we have the same frame and we are probably we look the exact same, he's completely different than I am, you know, and he has a different skill set than me. The thing that I try to get him to do or learn is the things that I did, that got to be your base. Like, that got to be something that is always, always, always on point, and that's playing hard and playing defense and rebounding.
What's that like when you're watching him play other former NBA players, you know, kids? Is that kind of wild where you're like, oh, that's Scottie's kid, you know, that's LeBron's kid? Like, are they just like, no, there's just another guy that I got to play against?
I think for them, again, because it's through their lens, it's just someone that they have to play against. They all have like a target on their back because they're kids of professionals, you know? So like everybody's always going to be, oh, that's such and such, such and such. That don't change being in between those lines and having to compete. So that's one of the things that I always try to like let my kids know, like, y'all have to fucking compete at all times. You never know who's watching. Everybody want to take your head off. So strap up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trevor, John, do you have anything else?
No, I feel like that's good.
What do you have? Do you have any other memories? One last memory to sort of leave us on playing with Trevor.
Nah, hell no. We got a lot of them. I'm not smoking them, but we got a lot of them. But my biggest thing, like I said, I just want to give him his flowers because you don't have a lot of vets that come in and teach you certain shit. Some vets is, they be alter ego and don't really want to help the young guys. And learning from all my vets between him, Drew Gooden, Al Harrington, Andre Miller, Nene, Gortat, all those guys, they helped me try to help the younger guys that came after me. So as long as I gave him his flower, that's all I really cared about. That was the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I'm one of those people that kind of like to just like, if I can fly under the radar, I will.
For sure.
Because I don't, you know, I don't care.
Because I said, if he's silent, you're not going to hear him. Like, he'll be in the room and he just be to himself, cool. But that's how you always be, because when you be real and be to yourself, you don't ever have to fit in and remember what you're trying to do to be somebody else. And that's what we always respected. Because yeah. He came in, he didn't try to take over the team. He was like, I'm the vet. I'm going to teach y'all certain ways. I'm going to stay out the way. But when y'all fucking up, his voice was definitely heard. It wasn't no bullshit when he had to say something.
Yeah. And I appreciate that, too, because, again, like, they didn't have to, you guys didn't have to listen. You know, you guys are lottery picks. Y'all are, yeah. Y'all are faces of the franchise. So, like, y'all didn't have to listen. So I appreciate the fact that you guys respected me enough to hear what I had to say. And, again, like, just watching you guys play and watching y'all grow and watch y'all game grow, you know, I felt like a proud big brother because, you know, I seen what it was when I was there to, you know, watching the rest of you guys' career. And as it continues, you know, for my young guys, just watching them, like, continue to blossom is, that's like a, you know, that's a point of pride.
Yeah, hell yeah. Like you said, like a big brother, some shit we didn't have. And like I said, it's always tough coming this because you never know how nobody going to act. New team, you going into a new locker room and you got certain guys that's drafted high. Like you said, they can be like, F the vets, I'm not listening. Mm-hmm. And the vets going to be like, you know what, I'm just going to do my job, but go ahead, go your way and finish it, figure out how you're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
But no, it's always been love. I appreciate the friendship, the brothership we have coming in, being a vet, being a great teammate, bro. And it's great to see where your son going, seeing where you're going in the next part of your life, and you know what it is, bro.
Appreciate you, God. Always appreciate you.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You too, see that.
Trevor, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Great meeting you,
man. You
should
have brought your magazine, bro. You should have shown the magazine. That's fine.
I got the magazine.
You got a magazine. They ain't even bring it.
Yeah, man. I don't even got that magazine.
But you remember?
No. Remember that.
I seen a picture.
But I just remember Hassan coming up to me and like, hey, where'd you get that academic sweatsuit? And it was two. I don't know if you guys remember back then. Those were crazy.
Yeah, two-tone.
I was like, Hassan Adams.
It probably was brown. You probably had on some Tims during the time, too, because.
No, I think I was wearing some Iversons.
It was cold as hell in Erie, Pennsylvania.
It was, yeah, because it's January. And that was like, guys, like I live from like 2 hours from Cleveland. That was where I could see NBA players. But when you guys came, that was a huge deal to the city, to me. And they were like, these guys are the next guys. And then I was like, I remember watching. I was like, I met that guy. So you were probably like one of the first NBA players that I met.
That's crazy. I wasn't an NBA player then. I think we played a team called Chester High.
Yeah, Chester was there, and then Cathedral Prep was my school.
Oh yeah, Cathedral
Prep. Erie Cathedral Prep. That was who Kobe played in the high school for the state championship too when he was at Lower Merion.
Okay.
It was great talking to you, Trevor. Appreciate you coming on the show. This has been Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano, presented by DraftKings. Just as a reminder, Bucket of Brick is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook is your home for all things NBA action, from player props to same game parlays. Check out everything DraftKings Sportsbook has to offer to make your NBA experience even sweeter. The crown is yours. We all know Bucket of Brick. John, I'm going to make a statement. If you agree, you're going to say Bucket. And if you disagree, you're going to say Brick. So you ready for this? This edition of Bucket of Brick?
You know that.
We got some good ones here for you. So the first one, Tyrese Maxey. He scored 52 points on Sunday night, his second 50-point game of the season. And then Joel didn't play, but he's back. And the Sixers, they're kind of like, I don't know, if they end up a seven, that's like a fake seven seed, right? So the Sixers are currently favored at 950 to win the Eastern Conference, meaning if you bet 100, you could win $950. So Bucket or Brick, the Sixers are going to win the East.
Brick. I don't think they'll win the East. I just have Boston winning. I mean, I think complete team. Yeah. I just have Boston winning. But if they finish seventh or eighth, the Sixers are not a seventh or eighth seed. So that is going to be a tough out for any team first, if you first or second, no matter what, because they are a top three, top four team for sure when they're healthy to me. That's just how dominant Joel Embiid is. I love Nick Nurse as the coach. I love the access and pieces they added. And, you know, Tyrese Maxey is who he is. So I just think they're a better team. But, you know, injuries have made them fun to a little bit.
What edge do you give the Celtics? Because I think, you know, as you said, for me, there's some different factors.
For me, but I just feel like you have two guys that's glue guys that can fit on any team. And you don't really get too many of those guys. And that's Jrue Holiday and Derrick White. Yeah. But I also think they just have the depth. They shoot the three well. They have two stars, superstars in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And I think Porzingis is the X factor. You know what I mean? Like, he can pick and pop. And then if, you know, a lot of teams switch a lot, he's a guy that can, you could throw the ball to in the post and he can score, get to the free throw line. So I think they just get him another dynamic adjustment than what they had last year. You know what I mean? Al Horford was the guy that would pick and pop, but he wasn't scoring in the post like he used to when he was in Atlanta, or have the same face-up game. His game has just changed. He's older. You know what I mean? So he's more of a, still could defend at a high level, switch out. He blocks shots, can shoot threes. And I think with Robert Williams, he wasn't switching out as much. He was a lob threat for them. But with Porzingis at the five, and sometimes they can go a bigger lineup and put Al Horford at the four and Porzingis at the five. I just think they have the right pieces. I think they've been to a lot of East Conference finals. They've been to the finals and lost. And I think they know that tandem. If they don't break through this year and next year, you're going to have to break it up. You know what I mean? Because they went all in. They gave up Marcus Smart. It was a great piece for them. Probably the most loved Celtics in a long time. And finding the right pieces for their team. So I think they're the team that is up to them.
Yeah, that'll be a crazy first round. Like, that'll be exciting if that ends up being that. Okay, second one. The Mavs have won 9 of their last 10 games, and Luka's leading the league in scoring. So Bucket or Brick, Luka's going to win at least 2 MVPs in his career.
Bucket.
Yeah.
For sure. I think it's up. I think if they would have caught fire a little earlier, he would have had an opportunity to win it. Or if Jokic would at least slow down a little bit, I think he would have had it. I think he still have opportunity to win it. But I think it's between Luka and Jokic. Now, Shea was there for sure. Don't get me wrong. He was right there. But I think the last couple of games he missed, and I think that's kind of like those guys are playing and Luka got the Mavs rolling. And that's a team that's not a seed that anybody wants to see, because they had a great trade with Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington. And I think Luke and Kyrie is figuring out how to play well with each other.
Yeah.
And that is very scary, because we know what Luke used to do to teams by himself. Now you add a score like Kyrie Irving.
Oh, my God. And Kyrie being healthy and having the season that he is in the playoffs.
He looked like he's happy again, man. He's just enjoying playing basketball. He's got a great place in his life from what you can see from him playing basketball in that piece.
All right. So going back to college, last night Zach Edey scored 37 in the national championship. They didn't win, but I'm curious because I've been going back and forth on this. Zach Edey will be a lottery pick in the draft. Bucket or Brick?
It's a tough question. It's a good one. I just think it might be tough way defensively how the new league is, but for me, I would say Bucket. I think you still just have to take him. You don't find a person that's 7'4". That can score and kind of athletic. And I think he should have a good NBA career.
Yeah, why do you think that some people are sort of downplaying him, like it being such a dominant
force? Well, I think just because his mobility of moving defensively, you know what I mean? A lot of guys, you look at it, you really don't have back-to-the-basket scores as big men. You got Jokic and Embiid. Other than that, you got to be able to move laterally, like Gobert, he can move, block shots, he impact the game on the defensive end. You know what I mean? Then you got guys like Cech that's playing the five, Sagoon that's spacing the floor. You know what I mean? It's just so many different dynamics, but you just have to wait and see. I think he got better over from last year, Edie, to this year defensively. So, you know what I mean? Probably something he worked on throughout the whole draft process and see where it goes.
Yeah. Something to look out for in the draft coming up. Okay. Yes. Final one, bucket or brick. Now, this has gotten some traction on our socials. The behind the back move. So, like, driving to the basket, putting it behind your back. That's your move. Bucket or brick?
Bucket, for sure. I feel like I made it. I think, I mean, I'm not the first guy to ever do it. Don't get me wrong, for sure. But I think just being in college, being in high school, watching my mixtape, then being in college, watching when I was doing it, to when I got to the league and made it famous, and then probably one of my best dunks ever against the Hawks, I did that same move. And the difference for me, I do it full speed without slowing down. A lot of people do it, but they slow down. I'm going full speed, and there's no stopping it. Because I did it, I think you look it up against the Pacers. I did it, I went behind my back, and they kind of like George Hill kind of read it.
Yeah.
And Lance Stephenson was coming to block it. And I didn't have to finish with my right. I leaned back and finished with my left, and they ran into each other. It was going into halftime. So I got different ways I can finish off that. I can go right, left, right, dunk. I got a lot of stuff.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. It's like you didn't invent it, but you've definitely – people started using it after seeing your highlights. Can you say who you learned that from or when the first time you started doing it?
To be honest, bro, I just tried it. Like, for me, when I play basketball, I don't determine anything. It's just all instincts for me.
Yeah.
Like, if I see a like, one day I just seen a defender run this way, and I'm like, okay, usually I can spin, you know what I mean? I'm not really great at Euro steps. That's not my thing, you know what I mean? So I'm like, let's try this. And I tried it behind the back, and it worked. So I was like, I'm going to stick with it.
It's effective. All right, John. Well, it's been another episode of Point Game. Appreciate you. Presented by DraftKings. Everyone, please go out there, rate, review, subscribe, leave the reviews. Everyone who also on our post left fan questions, keep doing that. Leave those in the reviews. We're going to have a future episode where John answers a bunch of those, and you guys will get some hoodies and some hats, Point Game merch on the way. John, anything else you want to leave the fans with?
Oh, yeah, man. Great to be back, man. We ain't going to take no break like that no more. but, like, yeah, we just enjoying it, man. We having fun. We got another special guest coming up soon. And shout out to Trevor for getting on today. Shout out to South Carolina women and UConn men for winning the NCAA championships. And now it's just exciting to get ready for the playoffs. So I can't wait to see. And I think we're going to have some great, great podcasts when the playoffs start. Yep. It's going to be interesting. So shout us out, man. Come support us. DraftKings, you know what it is, man. We are having fun, and support us.
Point Game. Peace. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See dkng.com/promos for eligibility and responsible gaming resources. Odds and lines subject to change.